Our lesson today comes from the Old Testament, but it will move into the New Testament. I would like to mention to you the prophet Isaiah, who was very successful at helping the Israelites keep from going into bondage with the Assyrians. 100 years later, we have another prophet. His name is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, been known as the weeping prophet. He was known by that name simply because Israel had turned toward idolatry and wickedness, and it made him very upset and sad. And he tried his best, hoping that Israel would turn from that and not have to go into bondage to Babylon. But ultimately, they would. Our text today is found in Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. If you would, follow along with me, please. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." In the opening of this chapter, Jeremiah is getting ready to receive a special message from God for his people. But God sends him to the potter's house as a point of reference so he can easily understand. I had a point of reference one time when I was in the second grade, or just got through with the second grade. I came down with rheumatic fever, and I was late starting to school that next year. I was something like 3 weeks into the school year before I got back. And when I got back and they went to math, they were looking at things I had never noticed before, 2 numbers with a slash in between. And I really didn't know where they were at and how to join in. My teacher was good enough, and I thought she was my best elementary teacher. She brought me up to her desk one day, and she took an apple that somebody had given her. And she said, "How many apples do I have, Eric?" I said, "1. So she took a knife and cut it in half, and she picked up one piece, and she said, "How much do I have now?" I said, "Well, you've got half of it." She said, "That's 1 of 2 pieces. You've got, we call it 1/2. Then she took a knife and cut the halves into halves again, and she looked at me and said, "How many pieces of this apple are there now?" And I said, 4. So if I pick up 1, how much do I have? "You must have 1/4. From that time on, I had it. And she did a really good thing for me by taking something that I could see and understand. And this is what happened with Jeremiah. God is a great instructor. He's the very best. Well, as we read verses 3 and 4, we find out that Jeremiah is watching this potter make a vessel. But it says it's marred, which means it's flawed. It's defective. The potter, realizing what has happened, decides to start all over. So he took the clay and reshaped it as it pleased him. After Jeremiah witnessed this interaction, I want to go back and read again verses 5 and 6. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." No matter what comes our way, it's good to know that we are children of God. We all face troubles. Troubles will come our way. I pretty much guess that right now some of you are going through some kind of trouble. And if you're not, you may just be getting over trouble. And you may not know it, but you may be getting ready to have trouble. But trouble will come our way. And we all experience them. Trouble brings us pain, disappointments, sickness, and even death. But there's something in our lives that causes our soul to be marred or flawed. It's a very simple word. It's so easy to spell. It's so easy to get into. But the only answer to it is Jesus Christ, and that word is sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Not only does sin bring death, it also brings other terrible things. Sin causes a fear it cannot remove, a heartache it cannot ease, a storm it cannot still, a problem it cannot solve, and a burden it cannot lift. And as sin comes in, it replaces the good things. Sin can replace love with lust, joy with sorrow, comfort with pain, peace with confusion, assurance with anxieties, and honor with disgrace. Adam and Eve just had one rule. Just one rule is all they had to abide by. They were not to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I've often wondered how long it took them before they broke that commandment. I don't know that it would have taken me that long. But it doesn't really matter, because when they partook of that fruit, sin entered the world. And once they sinned, death entered the world. And once death came, then the law came. And if you know anything about what the New Testament says about the law, it says the law was basically a tutor to man. We found out what God didn't like. We found out what God likes. And it says that the law could save if you could keep it. But no man can keep it. So there's only one answer. We must have grace. We must have mercy. The more laws that came in, the more offenses. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you realize it, but sin is rampant. Sin is rampant right now. But sin was rampant 10 years ago. Sin was rampant 100 years ago, and it was rampant 1,000 years ago. Sin is so rampant, there is no stone left unturned. There is no person untainted. There is no life untouched, and no heart unbroken. Just maybe this morning, your heart needs to be changed. Your spirit needs to be renewed. Your mind needs to be transformed. Your focus needs to be shifted. Your identity needs to be clarified. Your faith needs to be solidified. And your testimony needs to be verified. Thank goodness, God is patient. And that is very good news. The clay may be marred, but it's not rejected. God will make it into another vessel. As we read the text, one might wonder why the potter just simply didn't take the marred clay and throw it away and get a fresh piece and start all over. The reason was he realized that if he removed the object that marred it, it could be remade into a good, perfect vessel. And so he tried again. The prophet Jeremiah was depressed. One main reason, with all the sin and idolatry going on, Jeremiah was thinking God may cast Israel aside. He may choose another people as the people to serve him and to praise him. But that question was answered that morning, that he went to the potter's house. And all of his bad thoughts were calmed when he understood what God was showing him. God, in his mercy and grace, was going to give Israel a second chance. So we need to remember this. Every flaw, every disfigurement, every problem is welcomed at the potter's house. If you feel hopeless, go to the potter. If you feel helpless, go to the potter. If you feel burdened down, go to the potter. Because God is in the remaking business. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You still have the same body you were born into. It's grown up over time, but your soul has had its sin removed when you become a new creature in Jesus Christ. God can mold you. God can shape you. He can break you, and He can remake you whenever and however He deems necessary. So the question is, are you allowing God to mold and shape you? Notice what he says again in verse 2. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So Jeremiah went. In verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. The King James Version uses the word marred. But other translations use the words marked, stained, or spoiled. The word marred actually means damaged, defaced, to spoil the quality of, blemish. We have all been marred by sin. We've all been defaced. We've all been disfigured. We've all been blemished. And God has to do a work on us. As the potter was forming this clay, he was close to being done, but he spots something that he's not happy with. When making a clay pot on the wheel, the potter first has to knead the clay. He takes a piece of clay that may have been sitting up for a while that would be rather hard. He puts it on a tabletop and he presses it down and folds it and presses it and squeezes it. And as he does that, it becomes more pliable, softer, easier to shape. He's also trying to get rid of the air pockets in the clay, because once a vessel is made on the wheel, it's allowed to dry, and then you put it in an oven, and that will harden it for future use. But if there's an air pocket in the wall, that oven will cause that pot to be ruined. Once he gets the clay ready, he puts it on top of the wheel. He takes one hand and applies pressure on the inside, and then he takes the other hand and applies pressure to the outside. So what's the lesson here? God's got his hand on your outside while he's working on our inside. It just takes time and pressure for the potter to create a vessel. They say you can take a piece of carbon and with enough time and pressure and heat, you'll get a diamond. He's working on our inside so he can handle us on the outside. Think about Jonah for just a moment. Do you remember the story of Jonah? Jonah was given a task. God wanted him to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. He just didn't want to go. And so he just took off. The creator of heaven and earth had told him to do it, and he just takes off. God knew where he was. God found him on a ship. A storm came, and ultimately Jonah was thrown overboard. And you know what was waiting on him? That great fish that took him in. It took him in for 3 days and three nights. God had him on the outside. I know what some people have told me who were in the flood. They told me that as the water got up pretty high on their body, they began to pray. I've had several people tell me that. That's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah started being changed on the inside. Pressure from the outside caused change on the inside. And as he prayed, God heard him. And after 3 days, that great fish gave him up, and he went to Nineveh and did what he was told to do in the first place. Right now, your life may be in ruins, your hopes dismantled, your dreams destroyed, your prospects all but perished. It just takes time to to make a worthwhile vessel, and God is patient. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21 says, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. On the wheel, hopelessness turns to hope, low esteem turns to self-esteem, and a nobody becomes a somebody. In God's hands, marred vessels can be remade, and they can become useful vessels." Notice our Lord's desire in 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Primary lesson is, God can remake marred and ruined vessels. Jeremiah 18:4, again, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." God can renew, he can restore, he can revive, and he can rebuild your life, because God gives second chances. In God's world, you're allowed U-turns. And as long as time lasts, you have that right, not really a right, it's a privilege, to take another U-turn if you ever stray. Just keep making sure you come back to the potter. We need to always remember that God has a purpose behind every problem, and he's got a plan for every pain. Psalms 139 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Folks, God made us. One translation of the scripture reading this morning says, masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. We should take pride that we are a creation of God and try to respect what our Lord wants us to do. The question is, how does God shape and mold us to be like his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, one way is through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not sight." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." We have to know who God is and believe that he is who he says he is. That's a gigantic step for some people. For those who've been raised going to church and studying the Bible, that's almost second nature. But you must have faith in God. A second thing, God shapes and molds us through life experiences, both good and bad, with the purpose to shape and mold us into the person he wants us to be for his glory. There's been a lot of activities going on with this flood. A lot of you are stepping out of your comfort zone. You already have, and you've been doing a lot of things. And it makes me feel proud to be part of it. That flood is going to affect us for the rest of our life. That experience will change us forever. And it's a good change. And I'm sorry for those of our number and all those who suffered from the flood, but it will change us and make us realize that sometimes what we thought was just something we had to have is just stuff. I've heard that a lot. We take things into houses and they said, "Well, we lost everything, but we've come to realize it's just stuff. It's just stuff." But the Apostle Paul could say, and all children of God can say, Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." It is a blessing to know that no matter what I go through, no matter what storm I find myself in, I am still in the hands of God. I may lose my job, but I'm still in the hands of God. My paycheck may be cut, but I am still in the hands of God. My friends may forsake me, but I'm still in the hands of God. I might be sick, and I might even be sick unto death, but I am still in the hands of God. I might go through a flood, but I'm still in the hands of God. I might be too old to take care of myself, but I am still in the hands of God. I hope you're a Christian this morning and know that you are in the hands of God, because one day the wheel is going to stop for everyone, and the Lord will either take the vessel off and put it in a place of honor, or he will discard it forever. Have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know the story? If you know the story, you're already a good ways down the road. Question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came to this earth and died, was resurrected, and is with the Father above, preparing a place for us, a place for his vessels? Are you willing to repent? God wants you to turn from sin. You're not going to be perfect at it. You'll have to ask forgiveness from time to time. But once you become his, you're a new creature and all the sins are removed. But you'll still have flaws you'll have to take care of. Are you willing to confess the name of Jesus Christ? 1 John 4:15 says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." I hope you've already been baptized. Acts 2:38 says that baptism is for the remission of sins. That means your sins are forgiven. When you come up out of that water, that's when you become that new creature. All of the sins that have marred your life previously are totally removed. I like the way Romans 6:3 puts it, or chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." That new creature starts his journey all over again. And from then on, folks, the main duty is to try to be as righteous as you possibly can. I'll always remember the phrase that Jesus gave, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." As you grow older, I hope that you have grown more mature spiritually. I hope that you have gotten to a point where you are behaving better, acting better, you're kinder, you're more loving. You're loving the Lord more when you are. So try to love God more every single day. Let us strive to do that. If you have any need this morning, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, the opportune time is right now. It's the Lord's invitation. If you need to come back because you've let Satan come into your life, you can have all of that turned around again. And we ask you to come, please, as we stand and as we sing.